everybody, welcome to another episode of the Comic Book Legion podcast. Spoiler alert, I am not in China. I am Mark, and with me, we got Clay. What's up, dude?
What is up, man? You are not in China.
Here. I am safe. I am safe.
I know.
I was, the U.S. Embassy hooked me up with an email, told me, yo, China's not a good deal, is not a good idea right now. Maybe you should change your flights.
It definitely is not a good idea right now.
I had Fred DM me. He's like, hey, dude, are you worried about this at all? And he sent me a tweet about, like, the World Health Organization or something like that, and I read it. I was like, oh, we're dealing with it right now, but let's see what happens. And then, yeah, we were able to, luckily, kudos, thank you, Delta, for not charging us $900 to cancel our flights.
That totally sounded like you were like, oh, we're going to deal with it. It's fine. We're still going, but we're going to deal with it.
No, I'm sorry. Like we were in the process. We were like dealing with, all right, let's see what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Like we're like looking into it.
Well, no, it's really Delta, it's a really scary thing. Cuz I'm sure I've said this before on the podcast, but my father-in-law lives in Vietnam. He teaches English to like younger kids. And you know, it was something that he wanted to do like right after his youngest graduated from high school. He was like, okay, like all you guys are adults now and I kind of want to do something for me. And so he like just up and left, and regardless of if like his family was like really happy about it or not, he was like, you know, I just want to do something for myself, since he's, you know, up in his age and hasn't really done anything. And so he's been there for 2020, the year was 2016, so yeah, he's been there for like 4 or 5 years so far. And okay, it didn't, like, as soon as all of this virus stuff was going around, I messaged him. I was like, hey, you know, this is something that's been going on. Because he is somebody who is not super informed as far as like going into social media, learning things, doing all that. So I just like double checked. I was like, hey, this is going on in the world. Are you okay? Have you noticed anybody getting super sick? You know, has it hit Vietnam yet? And he's like, all he responded was, I don't know. And I'm like, okay. I was like, well, stay safe, stay clean, stay healthy. Which is really scary, because the first year that he was there, he got super sick to the point where he felt the need to come back. We picked him up at like midnight and then sent him directly into an urgent care. And they basically said, hey, there's like a weird black mass in an area that you are saying that you're in pain, but we literally don't know what it is.
Jeez.
And so, but they were like, it's not a tumor. It's not whatever. It's just, it's random and black. So it could just be like,
yeah, it makes me wonder, like, I mean, because I knew things were getting bad when I, you know, I have my wife and I were both ESL teachers, so we teach English to kids as well, so we have students that are in China, and you know it's getting a little serious when parents are like, when you come to China, buy a mask.
Well, I told Abby, like, I saw that there was some confirmed cases in America. And so yeah, I sent her the link to the story, and I said, hey, we should invest. Because there's some really heavy-duty masks that they have nowadays.
No, I had, we bought some, like, BA ones. Like, they're badass.
Really?
Like, the ones that I got, yeah. Like, I wanted it to be, like, all black. Because it's, like, this all black that has, like, this filter thing on the side.
See,
so I kind of look like, I look like someone if I'm, like, in BioShock.
See, that's,
or something like that.
That is the, I know exactly which one you're talking about, and that's the one I was wanting to probably buy.
Yeah, but my wife, she's like, babe, listen, we're going to a foreign country that is communist. She's like, you know, you are a nice person, but you're not the most friendliest looking. And, you know, having a guy that's, you know, 6'5", you know, 260, going in there and wearing like this black mask, and I'm going like in black, you know, it just, she's like, you know, it kind of looks a little too military, where it's like more questionable.
At the same time, you do have to remember, from what I have seen and from what I've heard, like, other countries wear those masks almost on a daily thing because they're just afraid of getting sick. Not necessarily, like, because of a deadly virus like this, but...
Yeah, well, we first got masks anyways, like, thin ones, because of the air quality. Yeah, quality there is not, it's not very good.
Yeah.
But then, when things were getting worse, I mean, you know, then it became, yeah, let's get something thicker.
That's crazy. But
anyways, I'm here. I'm probably going, right now, we changed our flights for May. So, you'll be hearing Clay in May mention that Mark went to China in May, hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean,
Lord willing.
That it really depends on how vast this thing spreads. Holy jeez. Like, that just gives me anxiety.
Yeah, so the reason why we're just talking about China is because I don't really know if we wanted to talk about comic books. Yes, there are books out there. I think everybody kind of has an idea of what our tastes are. And also, we are kind of, I know I am not going to, like, hate read or force read something. I know Clay struggles with anything action or Superman related or Legion of Superhero related or Wonder Comics related or, man, he's everywhere. But I think, I think he does it mainly more because it's, like, a main title. But besides that, I don't know. I'm not going to force read anything. So it's kind of, this was a pretty mediocre week.
Yeah.
And it really all starts off with, like, the first book that we're going to talk about, which is, Superman Action Comics, 1019, which of course is written by Brian Michael Bendis, John Romita Jr. on pencils, Klaus Janson on inks, and Brad Anderson doing the colors. The solicits is one of the biggest battles in Superman history tears through Metropolis as the supervillain team up of Lex Luthor, the Legion of Doom, and Leviathan come to change Superman City forever. The blockbuster creative team, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that doesn't talk anything else about. This book right here was literally a comic about Lex Luthor. Yes, he's with the Legion of Doom, and sometimes Brainiac had some interesting dialogue, but this is really just Lex Luthor and Leviathan measuring dicks.
Yeah.
About each other's plans, and you can see some moments here where things get really petty with, like, I'm Leviathan and Lex is just calling him Mark, and then he's like, can I call you that, Mark? And he's like, sure, Lex. Like, you got, like, these huge, you know, villains. I mean, Leviathan is still relatively new, but, you know, Bendis is portraying him as a big deal. So you got these two big, you know, villains, and they're just being petty about, you know, from it being Mr. Luthor to Mark and Lex kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. I have to be honest as well. I'm getting a little bit more bothered with, the more I see Brainiac on this team, the more I feel like, and this is not only a Bendis thing, this is also like a Snyder thing.
Yes.
Adding Bendis to the Legion of Doom, I feel like the character of Brainiac has been not only dumbed down, but I feel like he's been ruined.
Brainiac, like, for somebody who is literally supposed to be this almost omnipotent, like, technological character, he is dumbfounded by the pieces of technology that we have seen this year in the stories of Justice League and now in Action. Like,
yeah,
he's almost like a child learning all of this technology. And I'm just like, no. Like, Brainiac is supposed to be superior in every way.
But yeah. And I understand that they're probably just trying to do it in the sense, like, wow, not even Brainiac knows this. This is, like, unknown. But it's just, outside of his, you know, his lack of knowledge towards these weapons, I don't know. If it's from the Lex always demeaning him to, you know, like, his plans not work, I don't know. I just don't see Brainiac as a threat anymore. And I'm just remembering all the times that I've read Brainiac in the past, and how he's always one of those characters that you seldomly see, but whenever you see, his impact is there. And now you're seeing like this kind of, and I don't know, I'm not a really big fan
when
of it. But
when I used to think about Brainiac, like everybody's like, oh yeah, he's a Superman villain. I'm like, no, he's a DC villain. Like he is on the level of he wants to take control of the entire Earth.
Yeah, I think people just, I don't know if they're putting Superman on there because of the Geoff Johns story during Action, that's where we lost Paul Kent. I don't know if that's like where people are kind of connecting, because that's the first time you truly see him.
Yeah.
Like in form. I don't know if that's what it is, or I don't know. I don't see him specifically as a Superman villain. I see him more as a global, what should be a Justice League villain.
Yes.
And it's funny that you have the best of the best in this Legion of Doom.
Well,
and I don't know, is it like this? I don't mean this as like a shot. So this is not like a shot or a meant for any disrespect for the, but to me, the Legion of Doom feel like an MCU version. Like, you know, like you have, no, cause you have like, for example, like Thor in the movies should be portrayed how you see like Superman and Man of Steel in terms of like power, the power levels.
Yeah.
Cause like one thing that's always gotten me is have you recently seen like Thor, like the first one?
Like the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, Thor 1 and 2 are probably like my favorites. So, yeah, I remember them more.
Oh yeah, yeah. Thor, the first Thor is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Of like the MCU. Well, I love Phase 1 minus the Avengers, but for sure. I love Phase 1.
Yeah.
So when you see him go to like Jotunheim and they're going to confront the Frost Giants
and he destroys everybody.
And you see him slam the Mjolnir onto the ground. You see that it goes for like a mile.
Yeah.
And then you see like later on, I mean, you see him powerful in Dark World, but then you see like what happened to him in like, let's say, Infinity War.
Yeah.
When he was like, show me that, and he does the jump and he slams. That slam that's supposed to be epic with Stormbreaker only went like 20 feet far.
Yeah.
Like, so I just feel like when you're seeing all these characters, I don't know, they kind of feel like they've been like depowered. That's how I feel about this version of the Legion of Doom. I'm like, dude, you have Sinestro.
Well,
you have Grodd.
Considering they have a Sasquatch and a werewolf instead of Grodd and Cheetah. Like that's for me, like I just don't know if JRJR knows how to draw a gorilla or a cheetah, so.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So here, yes, you get a little bit of Leviathan's plans in regards to working together and showing him kind of what the future could look like and, you know, and their plans and how they can make things better. We're kind of seeing a little bit more because we know that Bendis likes to make timelines a little funky. So clearly we're seeing here what their plans are with Robinson Good, because the beginning of this story, you kind of just see the red cloud there just hovering. And then she's like, what have I done? Now we're seeing a little bit more.
What Bendis, like, and this is genuine, like, advice. Like, and I'm not saying this to like shit all over his stuff, but what Bendis doesn't realize, he is throwing three different stories at us. He is throwing the Leviathan Legion of Doom meeting at us. He is throwing the origins of the Red Cloud at us. And he is throwing this whole Legion of Doom versus Superman fight at us. And the thing is, he is doing it in a way of like, oh, we're going to flash back and then we're going to move forward. But then we're also going to be in the present and like doing all this stuff. When he could have literally told these three stories in a linear manner, it would have made sense, and it probably would have been 10 times better.
Yeah, like that sense, or turn this into, you know, treat it like an anthology, like when you're reading 52. You know how it was kind of like every story had its own section. It was like 6 pages was dedicated to this, and that. 6 pages dedicated to this, end it.
Yeah.
Where you can kind of, you know what's going on. But Yeah, I mean, this book is all over the place. I mean, I see Romita here, and I kind of feel like I can see why they chose Romita, because this book has so much, like, little dialogue and just speaking and nothing really happening, where it's not really worth using a writer, you know, like an artist, that, you know, to do more of the big bombastic things.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what it is, but I also know people love Romita because he stays on deadlines. But this was a tough read. It's not like a book like, oh, I hate it, but it's not something that I liked at all. So, like, if I was rating this book, like, if we're still doing the rating system, like, I would give this book maybe like a 5. Like a 4 or a 5.
Yeah, I would be about a 4 with yeah. How the story so it was went. And it's really unfortunate that Bendis feels that flashbacks is the best way to progress a story. When, like, this entire arc has been a flashback that could have literally been told before the reveal of Superman's identity, so that way it actually makes sense.
Yeah. No, for sure. So, what'd you think of Suicide Squad?
Suicide Squad was a book that, surprisingly, I was not a fan of.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong, it is still a good read. I love Tom Taylor. But with what happens, I feel like happened too quickly within the story. And I'll explain that. Let's go ahead and read the summary here. After the absolute carnage of Suicide Squad number 1, a new Task Force X has been assembled even before the bodies of the teammates and friends have had a chance to cool off. What's left standing may be the most capable and uncompromising Suicide Squad ever brought together, but it's also the most divided. Forced to fulfill the agenda of a cruel new taskmaster, the squad might survive their next mission, but they may not survive each other. So, basically in this story, the newer members are not really getting along with the old members. And at the end of this story, they basically turn on the Suicide Squad in the sense of not completing the mission as said. And
yeah,
for me, I would have liked that a lot more at the climax, either the climax of the arc or at the end of the arc. This is only the second issue, and this is already happening. And
I mean, he did promise that this stuff was gonna go insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't expecting this to be something where you would be like, hey, let's all get along and kind of, you know, work together on this. I mean, it makes sense that.
Oh, I would have completely expected people to, like, butt heads and everything. That's fine.
Yeah.
But for Osita at the very end to just be like, oh, you know, I'm just gonna pretend like there's an ambush and pretend like things are going wrong just to, you know, basically do what I want to do. I'm not gonna be controlled by some lunatic, basically, is, I'm guessing, her mindset. And the way
she did lose I don't remember the name, but the kid at the first one when they kind of like tested and just blew him up.
Explosion or whatever his name was.
Yeah, in the first issue, I mean, you have to remember these characters are like freedom fighters.
Yeah.
And now they're literally now stuck with working with the, like, with an establishment of what they're trying to, like, get rid of. So I can kind of see these tactics. Now, it does seem a little odd that she would do it. I can see her, like, being tempted to do it. But seeing her actually go along with it is one of those things where I'm like, man, this is kind of, you know, she clearly knows that they mean business because she has witnessed it. But it looks like here, you know, with this execution that you see here at the very end and her kind of telling, I mean, even she's even got Floyd.
And that's all flustered. Also what I have a problem with. You know, Floyd, Deadshot, being the character that he is, from other reiterations from what I've read, for him to absolutely do nothing is surprising. And it's interesting.
I mean, based on his face, it's like, it's more like, I think, like, man, he must have just been completely caught off guard.
Well,
but in another sense, now with Amanda being down, is no longer a player at the moment.
Yeah.
And this mysterious lock guy is now, like, the guy that's in charge. I mean, I can kind of see where, yes, he's, I mean, being completely shocked by what she just did. But then secondly, it kind of makes me wonder, like, if he's actually interested to know what exactly are her plans. Because, you know, I mean, we've seen in many Suicide Squad books, I mean, he wants his freedom. He doesn't want to be doing this forever. So it kind of makes me wonder, like, are we going to see... I mean, I don't know how fans are going to feel about it. Like, if this team led by Osita and, you know, the Freedom Fighters, if, you know, they kind of lead a charge and you have, like, the Suicide Squad as their backup and, you know, all the characters that you kind of know and love in the Suicide Squad, they're kind of like nobodies just to kind of prop up these characters. I mean, that is a possibility. I enjoyed the book for the world. It's just, I guess... when you had such a crazy issue number one, you kind of wanted to see how are they going to top it, or how would you at least follow up?
Yeah,
and you didn't get much of it. But there was that moment with King Shark and the dude that I don't remember.
Yeah,
what's his name? Finn? Was it Finn?
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, when that little conversation about. How he can sense it, and now, you know, he's always been able to connect with his brother and always know, like, you know, the thoughts were always connected.
Yeah, and he now, even reaches out and he's like, are you still there? Can anybody hear me? And then Shark is like, oh, I can hear you. And
he's like,
it's menacing. And that was cool.
I thought that was good.
I really liked that interaction. But I genuinely think Tom Taylor changed his name. It's no longer King Shark, it's just The Shark. Which is weird.
Yeah, the thing is that sometimes, I don't know. I mean, King, I know we mentioned this in the last show. It's like, I don't know, man, because I've seen King Shark like this, and I've seen King Shark as a hammerhead. So I don't know which one's which.
Has he? Like, been I don't a know. Hammerhead? Are there? Did we confirm that?
I feel like I've seen King Shark before as a hammerhead. Man, you know what? I might just be getting confused with what Kelly Sue DeConnick is doing. No, because that's also a. Man, I don't remember. I'm trying to see here. See, look, if I do King Shark right now...
Oh, yeah. Images, the very first one. He's a hammerhead.
Yeah. Now, again, I don't know if that was just a New 52 thing. Maybe? I don't know where that one came from.
Technically, this is all supposed to be a continuity of New 52.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's... You know what that is.
Oh, yeah, even in the cover of Aquaman, he was a hammerhead.
Yeah, you see? So
wow.
That's why. I mean, it's one of those things that I'm just like, man, I don't know who this is. So either this is like, for all that we know, since I haven't followed much, maybe King Shark died and this is a descendant. I don't know. Who knows? But that's kind of like where I am with this character. But so far, Shark and Finn have been my most intriguing. Just because I know this is not going to go on forever, but for the most part, this is what I've enjoyed most in the book.
Now I will say, this book is gorgeous. I love the colors. I love the art. The one part that I really got a chuckle out of. Was that one kid saying that he loves flying, but he doesn't enjoy being in a highly flammable, like, metal, encased in metal that could blow up at any time. And then when they crash, Floyd is like the guy, the head guy is like, what happened? And he's like, oh, I just found myself falling out of the sky encased in metal. Propelled by highly flammable liquid. He's like, what? Like, that actually got me to laugh. and the way that that page is with the fire and the colors and everything, gorgeous. I absolutely love it. But it's unfortunate that there is a part of the story that I'm just like you said, it just doesn't match up to what the issue one is or was. So hopefully Tom Taylor can really turn it around and really push forward to another crazy issue like that. But it's really hard to be consistent like that. You know, you can't just be killing the entire Suicide Squad every issue, you know? So.
No, for sure. It is one of those things that I didn't even have really an issue with the book. I mean, I thought it was an enjoyable read. You know, it's like one of those average, pretty good books. I mean, the ending, although it surprised me, I mean, again, everything about this team is new, so we'll have to kind of learn as we go. So I think it's just one of those things that with Taylor, you tend to want to lean more on the unexpected. And I guess the way you saw issue one and then this version of the unexpected is like the execution style. I guess because it's a character that I don't really care about, maybe that's why it doesn't have that big of an effect. But I mean, I'm definitely curious to see what, you know, what this leads into. So I mean, we'll see. But leading into, yes, this is our last book coming up here, which is Justice League 39. This is the conclusion of everything that Scott Snyder has done. You know how they keep on teasing it? It's the end. The end. The end. The end. The end. This kind of makes me think of like that Thor gif with Banner. I think it's from Ragnarok, and he's like, "Is it though? Is it though?" That's kind of like where I am with this book. I was stoked. I was expecting, you know, this is Jimenez on the last issue. I mean, we've been seeing what Jimenez has been doing in this comic with like the splash pages, with everything. It's one of those things like you're expecting just balls to the wall, and it wasn't any of that. I mean, you have that awesome entrance last issue at the very end with Martian Manhunter, which is probably one of the greatest Martian Manhunter panels ever. And you kind of see what his purpose was in this issue, and it was pretty much all Perpetua. Ha ha! I knew! I wanted you to do this so that you can see that they still chose me! Ha 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 ha! And just, I don't know, man. It felt like just a whole bunch of dialogue in this book that led to Perpetua just saying this was the plan all along. Now it kind of feels like reading this story that Perpetua wasn't even the big bad.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
That she's just like a big, I'm like, you're calling yourself the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of worlds, and then literally later on in the story you're kind of just getting, you know, you're just getting like dialogue that kind of teases, yeah, she's not even the big threat. Like, what?
I don't know, man. Unfortunately, this is a formula that Snyder does. He's a guy that I will give him props. The saying of go big or go home, he takes it to heart, and he always goes big. But that is another one of the issues that I have with some of his writing, is that he is wanting everything to be so bombastic that, like, it's really hard to, like, be able to breathe in one of his books and be like, okay, now let's move on to the next thing. It's always like, oh, we're still dealing with that. Oh, we're still dealing with that. Oh, we're still dealing with that. Oh, another, it's basically, this entire series has been a crisis on top of a crisis on top of a crisis on top of a crisis. And
now, I mean, yes, you have had the slow books with like Tinian did in between.
Yes.
And I get that. I mean, I don't want to knock on the fact that everything has been, you know, felt like crisis over crisis over crisis, because I remember earlier in the book, like, me going with against, like, one of the co-hosts, like, during Nation of Nerds, and mentioning, why have such a small, slow book when it's the Justice League? You know, Justice League is meant for cosmic-level events.
Yeah.
I guess that when you're just reading it for so long, I guess it just felt a little overwhelming. But it's one of those things. I mean, the book is not... It's not even that it's a bad book, because it's not. I enjoyed the book because I loved the story. It's just what got me is just kind of... There's just not endings anymore, you know? And I think that that's what got me with this book. Well, you know what? Let me read here. In the wake of Justice Do More, the Justice League finds themselves stranded at the far end of the universe and facing a challenge they've never faced before. But what will they find on their journey? Has their battle with Perpetua had consequences reaching farther across the cosmos than they ever imagined? Then superstar scribe Scott Snyder says farewell to the Justice League with a special story that both winds down all the things he started in issue one and nods toward everything that comes next in the DCU, which is now written by Scott Snyder, George Jimenez, and Daniel Sampier, inks by, let me get here, Juan Abaran, and George Jimenez on colors with Alejandro Sanchez in doing the colors. So, yes, I mean, this book does promise everything that they were doing, and yes, this does seem to be something that Snyder has been doing, especially it feels like since Metal, that it's just, because Metal is one of the stories, yes, it felt very convoluted, but then with all the crap that goes on with DC because of how bad they are with deadlines, like, it was really frustrating reading Metal and the New Age of Heroes or New Age, whatever initiative was.
The New Age of
Heroes. We were, like, on issue 4, and then Metal comes out, and when Metal ends, he's like, it's the dawn of a new age of heroes. Like, dude, this has been, like, 4 months already. So, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, was Metal all for just teasing this new initiative, and it was just such a failed one that... Sure, you know, Snyder's going to obviously tease things, but I don't know. I just wish that there was stories that would end, because even like Snyder's Batman stuff, the story will end, and then he'll go on, you know, 0 year happened, end. The Joker stuff, it will end. And yes, will you have threads later on and you see Easter eggs talking? Yes, of course. That's what continuity is. But for every single story just to happen so that it can lead to something else, I don't know. I guess I miss contained stories with nods happening in the future.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I just read a whole year's worth of stuff and it's, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just being too petty and like picky, because obviously when you're reading a story with a writer, if he's got a vision, you know, it's obviously supposed to lead to something. But I guess it's just, I don't like when an arc is ending, for example his arc, and then his story that's going to continue is not going to happen for like 5 months.
Yeah.
Why not just close the story? Like, everyone that's just reading a comic is going to see them going into this abyss and fight for, you know, this is it. And these are for all the marbles, because if they screw this up, it's done. And now, okay, yeah, now we have a Robert Venditti is on, you know, Robert Venditti's doing the arts.
Which I don't even know what that is supposed to be. Now, a friend of mine on Twitter, most of people who listen to the Squadcast Media Network probably know him from Fans Without Borders and the Marvel Squadcast. But he asked Robert Venditti, hey, do I need to read Snyder's run to understand your new, you know, starting with issue 40? He said no, but it's a good series to read, so you should read it. And with how this book ends, I would 100% say yes, because if you just start at the beginning of a story that Robert just was like, hey, I want to tell this story. Like, I understand that people are, the argument between continuity and not connecting stories and everything, this literally has them going through a door and going to I will say this, the entire, let's see here, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. The last nine pages are dedicated to a giant tease towards 5G. That's all it is. This whole entire talking to those cosmic beings, and making sure to bold the word everything, and everything matters, and everything again. Like, this is all the tease towards 5G. Because they want to make everything in DC continuity, actual continuity, or DC history into continuity. And so, you know, they're talking about how they want to make their past battles mean something and their future battles mean something. And so it legitimately sounds like they're going to be going through time to remember some of those fights. And if that's what Robert's, like, story is going to be, which... in the solicits, it doesn't sound like it, but that's the only way this book ends to this, like, to make sense. Like, I would say, yes, you have to read this issue. Because if Robert's story just, like, starts randomly, and it has no connective tissue, then why name it Justice League number 40?
You know? Yeah, it's... So, that's kind of where we're at. I'm a little... I don't know, man. I don't know if it's that I've just kind of fallen in love with these maxi series formats where there's a beginning and an end. The story's done. Yeah. It's over. End. Bada bing. Maybe I'm just loving that we're getting so much Black Label stuff recently, and I'm loving the story formats of Black Label, that now I'm like, man, and you know, I'm always reading indie stuff. So I love the indie stuff, that everything's self-contained. It's just that, I don't know, that everything just being a preview for something else is just bothering me, because it doesn't feel like this is how I was reading things in the past. And I know it's like, oh my gosh, you know, evolve, dude. It's, yeah, I get it. It's just, you know, it's just the way I like to read a story. And it's the same way I like movies. I hate watching movies, and I mean, I've told many people, if you've listened to during Nation of Nerds or like the Coolest Podcast back in the day, I hate after credits. I hate it, because it that just tells me an after credit pretty much just shows me that the story did not like finish.
Yeah,
and I don't like. I'm like, let it finish, let the story be over. Don't like. Do something to tease just for the other movie. I don't like that. I don't, me personally. That's why when the DCEU was starting, I never wanted a shared universe. I am more than happy of just having a whole bunch of, like, Christopher Nolan. Like, if Zach just did his, you know, what he was doing, like, that Man of Steel movie, or BVS was supposed to be kind of like a Man of Steel sequel.
Yeah.
Like, all that kind of stuff. Like, let it all be contained. If you want at the end do a Justice League, sure, fine. But I didn't need every film to need to connect to each other. I don't need that. I don't care for it. So just reading something like this, I don't know. And the thing is, like, I was enjoying the book. Like, I was literally reading the book. I was like, all right, man, this is happening. This is happening. It's good. Okay. What's going to happen here with Perpetua? Because clearly, you know, everything that we thought that was going to happen, we're like, all right, this is when they're going to defeat her, and then clearly she had a trick up her sleeve. Like, I was kind of, you know, building it, and then seeing, like, the quintessence and seeing all of them, I was like, oh, okay. Like, if they're here, clearly, you know, they're in trouble. And kind of, like, seeing these heroes being depowered, I was curious, like, what does this mean for, like, what the story was going to be? And then I got the same exact kind of vibe that you did, which was, in my sense, with the word everything, I was like, nah, there's no way that Scott... Especially when you hear, like, reports of, like, how he felt, like, that he does not want his stuff to be connected with 5G. And that's why he's kind of moved permanently over to the Black Label side.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just clearly seeing the story kind of lead to that. Because, again, we don't really necessarily know what his version of the spiritual metal is going to be. But I don't think anybody thought that metal was going to lead to the New Age of Heroes initiative.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you don't go from something so dark to, oh, a new light. Like, you know, I don't know about that. So is this now this spiritual thing? Is this, you know, is this just like a fancy way of just going spiritual, and you're using that as kind of like a, like as a different word of just saying like retirement for the other, for like the older, for these heroes here? And I don't know. Like, I don't trust the interviews, because obviously all that stuff is, rehearsed. But it's one of those things that, no, I mean, I've already been tricked with Metal, and that Metal was literally just a jumpstone for one initiative. And now they're going to be using possibly this to do another initiative, and it's an initiative that I'm not excited about. So seeing this, I was like, damn it, it's another preview.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have more... I don't know, man. I don't know. I could just keep on going around and around with the same thing. And that's the thing. Like, you know, but we're purposely not doing what we've done in the past, which is going panel by panel and kind of like explaining the book. More than likely, if we're trying to treat this as you've already read the book.
Yeah.
So you kind of know exactly what we're talking about, and we just want to talk about the book. We don't want to talk about panels. There might be certain moments in the book that we want to talk about. But for the most part, we kind of just want to keep it like, you know, this is open conversation. Let's just talk about whatever we want to talk about in regards to this book. And I don't know. I mean, we've kind of mentioned that with Perpetua, that she looked like fearsome. And the more she was getting developed, she kind of just looked less intimidating.
Yeah.
And now here, I mean, she was just like full-blown Ursula. She's just screaming. She's not like, I don't know. I guess the one question would be is that when she touched the planet and you kind of see all the heroes zapping into the fire and you see them all in black suits, you kind of see Martian Manhunter like develop from like a molecule, like he just formed.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do you think that is? Because clearly they're all the same characters, because there's nothing new about them, because they're all remembering everything that's happened in the past. So was this like a depowering of who they are?
Yeah, no. So these beings like basically explain that in the moment of their quote unquote deaths, they teleported them away from Earth. So
yeah, like they like saved them. Yeah.
To seem like they are dead. And for some reason they had to put them in these black suits so that way Perpetua couldn't sense their power. Which I'm like,
okay,
that's weird. Their suits don't make them powerful, you know?
Yeah, I don't even understand why. But I mean, and it's clearly like, because, you can see like,
and you see,
you can see them talk about it, yeah, but yeah.
But you also see Superman like attempt to fly off, and he can't because of this black suit.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Like, are they depowered? Like, I don't know. I was just a little, I don't know, thrown off by it, but it's, I don't know, man.
I will say I do enjoy the fact that Snyder did, in fact, put a panel from Doomsday Clock in here. Whenever you see Black Adam.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I immediately saw that. I was like, oh, okay, they're recognizing Doomsday Clock. So, good, you know, for sure. But it's just, like I said, that last page for sure. You know, when they...
But even that, not all... But it's like Doomsday Clock, sure. But then you see also Leviathan. And you also see, like, Naomi. Like, the Wonder Comics stuff.
Yeah. I mean...
Like that's there, too. So... No, I get it. I'm just saying, like, it's... You know, Snyder's always been so... Like, I want to be in my...
Universe.
In my story.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it just kind of feels like... Listen, I'm putting all my eggs are going to be on this spiritual thing that I'm going to be doing, this spiritual Metal, and
I genuinely think that somebody pretty much strong-armed him for at least the last part of this story, saying, "Hey, we need to move forward with our 5G initiative. You can either write this ending, or we can have somebody else do it." And that is probably why it was delayed for 2 weeks.
Maybe. So, I don't know, man. So this was one of those books that I thought maybe I would give it like an 8 for like the first half. And then, which is normally for me, the MO with Snyder, I'm never really a big fan of his conclusions.
Yeah.
So I guess this kind of just goes with what I normally think of his work when it comes to the endings. But yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, if I were to rate this one, I would rate it that 7.58. I could, if you were to strong arm me, I can give it a 7.8 just because I'm a sucker for Jimenez's art, and I think that can push my score to like anything, basically. But yeah, that's basically it, man. I want to look forward to, you know, what we have in the future. I know that we are both fans of Robert Venditti when he can write a really good story. So I'm hoping that this new, you know, arc for Justice League is going to be good, but I don't know how long it's going to be because I don't know.
I just don't think that, I mean, yes, I'm also a fan of Robert Venditti. I just think that DC is not going to allow him to do anything of substance. Because it can't contradict with what this story is and what the bigger picture is.
Yeah.
So for me, I just feel like, listen, do you have a story that you've always wanted to tell with the Justice League that's like a contained story? And Robert's like, yeah, I've had an idea. And then, okay, we're going to run with that, but no, you know, like none of this can, this is just a nice self-contained story. And you can always later on say, you know, I have a trade. Of a story arc that I did.
Yeah.
But honestly, I feel like that's just all that it's going to be. It's just going to be one of those, like, Peter Tomasi, like, hey, it's going to be a safe story. It's, you know, it'll be above average writing. The book will look nice, but it's just going to be... I just don't want it to go back to when Brian Hitch and Christopher Priest were ruining Justice League during the new, you know,
beginning of Rebirth.
You know, no, the beginning of Rebirth. Sorry, no, Geoff Johns was New 52. So it's just, yeah, man. This, I understand. This is the flagship title. This has to be important. This got to be a big book, and I just feel like because of this book, because of the way it ended, yeah, it's just going to be one of those caca things. I wouldn't have minded with the way this story ended if the metal was starting in 2 weeks.
Yes, I completely agree.
So that's my issue. I mean, it's literally just a preview, and now I have to wait 6 months. No, that's not how it should work. I mean, if you think about when you've had, like, Infinite Crisis, what did you have? You had Countdown. Countdown to Infinite Crisis.
Which was, and there was that a mini or was it?
Countdown was huge. That was like 52.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say like
it was just the weeks were just going down instead of going up. Like, and so it was literally a story. And yes, were they like little mini previews, like leading to a story anthology form? Yeah, but at the end of that story, we immediately got to the main event. I did not have to wait, and now this is a teaser, like in a movie, and now I have to wait 2 years until that film is made. No, just make your story, and then when you create your new story, you could just tie it into what happens in the future.
Yeah.
Into, like, the next one. That's it. That's all you need to do. But I don't know. So now we're just going to be reading, honestly. I hope not, because, again, I love Venditti. Venditti, I've been a fan since, like, his Exo Manowar stuff with Valiant. Like, love his work. And his Freedom Fighters book, awesome. Everything. His Hawkman, great. Dig it. This... I just feel like we're going to get a good story that's just going to mean absolutely nothing. So I guess it's going to be, if you can at least just, I guess, be entertained.
Yeah.
And know that you're just going to be entertained for an arc or two arcs maybe. Okay. Then it is what it is, but it won't have anything of substance.
Yeah.
Blah. So.
Well, with that, guys, yeah. Remember that we are a part of the Nerdy Legion Network. Go to nerdylegion.com. They have a plethora of different podcasts there, everything nerd-related. And let me just say, Mark, I am very proud of what we do here at the Comic Book Legion podcast because I recently went...
How proud are you?
I recently went to the Nerdy Legion website and was looking at our analytics, and we are in the top 5 of all of their And
look at you trying to toot. Look at this. My goodness.
I know. I shouldn't toot our own horn, but I will say we were number 3. We have been pushed to number 4. So my ego a little bit was like, "Aw." But
this is preposterous.
I still love everybody in the Nerdy Legion network. I love what we do. Thankfully you're here to, actually conversate with me. I was really worried for the next 2 weeks that I may have been needing to do this show alone, and I know none of our listeners like that. So
Well, to be fair, I'm just looking now. We're number 4 in unique listeners, but when it comes to average downloads per episode, we're number 2.
Oh yeah.
And we're only 16 episode downloads away from number 1. So click on our numbers, baby. Jeez.
Oh man.
Are you an analytic whore? Be honest.
Not really. No.
Okay.
It just dawns on me every once in a while. I'm like, "Oh, let me go look at this." And so when I look at it,
I understand. You kind of want to know how you're doing.
I was
going
to say,
because if they're just going down, then clearly we're doing something
for
wrong.
For me, I really enjoy the fan interaction, because it actually means somebody is listening while I'm yelling into this void, you know? And so to hear feedback, it feels good, and to see feedback, because it's not necessarily that I always have to hear somebody say, "Oh, I listened to your episode." Well, I can clearly see in the analytics, oh, people are listening. That feels good, you know? So.
Yeah. I hear you. And we appreciate it. That's why I try. I know I forget to do things, but guess what? You know what? I also forget to say that we're part of the network. So it's more of me just forgetting. But yeah, I've always mentioned, really appreciate it. I even appreciate, when people just write back and kind of just give recommendations, advice. I dig it.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I think it's humbling. So it's nice. But yeah. Yeah, and I'm sorry that, this is like one of the, I always feel bad because like here you are saying like people listen, and then I feel like all we did today was poo-poo on the books. But I mean, the reason why we specifically just are doing just DC and not like what I was doing at Nation of Nerds and just kind of changing it and just doing all the books is because we really love DC Comics.
Oh yeah.
And
for
it's
sure.
and that's the thing. I mean, it's not
Every publisher has their ups and downs. This is a moment.
Yeah, and
where
this is just kind of one of those.
They're in a lull right now. I understand that as much as I'm nervous and not necessarily anticipating this 5G thing. Jim made a really good point. As long as there's good creative teams and good stories in this new reiteration of whatever DC wants to do, I'm probably going to enjoy it, and I'm going to be like, "Oh, all my thoughts were silly back then." So
The question is though, I mean, we've just read so many reports that creators are like actually backing out of this. Like they don't want to be a part of it, which is, and hey, if this is an opportunity for some new voices, great.
Which I genuinely want. I want somebody, and I know my first reaction when, cause back when Rebirth was a thing and Dan Didio and Jim Lee had their little conference at New York Comic Con, announcing all the titles with all the creative teams and all that, there was people that I didn't even know of as far as writers, but their concepts for what they were wanting to do with the story, I was like, "I'm on board. Let's do this."
Yeah.
I want that. And if that is why it's taking so long, if Jim Lee is like, "Hey, we have to sit down, do one of these conferences again because it was a good rep for Rebirth. Let's see if we can do it again for 5G. Then let's do it. Like, get a conference with all the writers and all of the artists.
The thing is, it's just that like 5G is just all a. I mean, I guess with Doomsday Clock, you know a little bit more because Doomsday Clock actually shows 5G. Like in their book.
Yes.
But everything else has been like Bleeding Cool reported, where and then other people just doing their own little think pieces about it. But it hasn't really been.
Confirmed to do anything. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it just makes me feel that if those reports are true in regards to they wanted a, oh crap, what was the event called with Telos?
Convergence?
Convergence, yeah, like the Convergence, but they wanted like a 2-month thing to kind of lead to it. Oh no, but there's been issues, and now they wanted a one, and now it's everywhere, they just don't know where to do it, and I'm like, I don't know. I feel like this initiative doesn't seem to have somebody leading it.
Yeah.
And now you have Jim Lee. Yes, Jim Lee is, you know, one of the chief creative, like, co-chief creative officers. But now he's, like, head of DC Films. So is Jim Lee jumping on DC Films? Because is that going to be opening up? I mean, it doesn't seem like that's going to be opening up a avenue for Johns. But I don't know. Because I like to think that editorial doesn't have much to do with Johns. But I don't know. Doomsday Clock kind of made me feel that maybe 5G was his idea. I mean, you do know that, you know, Ted Kord was gone. He's like, oh, Jaime Reyes. You know, he created his own creations with Jessica Cruz. Did he do Simon Baz? Why do I feel like Johns did Simon Baz?
I don't know if he
did. I feel like nobody would have bought in. I think it was. I don't think people would have bought into Simon Baz if it wasn't Geoff Johns. So you do know that Geoff Johns, I think, loves legacy characters or creating new characters. So for all that I know, maybe 5G, maybe everything was true that Geoff Johns, and in a way, Geoff Johns did kind of throw DC under the bus by saying, listen, DC kind of forced us to start this, you know, to publish the book like 5 months earlier than what we wanted.
Yeah.
Like, if so, the book would have done. So maybe that's really what it was. Maybe they were really taking their time. And clearly you could tell that Gary Frank was putting a lot of work into this. And maybe he's just a slow worker, like David Finch or these people that can never meet deadlines. Maybe that's exactly what it is, and DC kind of just pushed it. And maybe 5G is really something that Johns wants to do. I would feel much better knowing that if Geoff Johns was leading a 5G. But do I think that's what it is? No. I don't. I mean, right now I'm still getting teases with Fabok about Three Jokers, but I just want to know when is Batman Earth One coming? When is Three Jokers coming? And
yeah,
I don't know, man. I don't know the state. With me right now, yes, this is a lull, and normally that happens with comics when a big event's going to come. You just get a whole bunch of crap just because you're having all the creative guys actually work on the stories that matter, which is after the event.
Yeah.
So that normally happens. All I can say is I'm just happy for Image Comics. Because their Image Comics right now is keeping me sane. And
I will be completely honest. Right now, what's keeping me sane is the DC Universe app and the Show and Jump app. Like, those two things have been keeping me sane.
Actually, you know what's been keeping me sane? I'm lying. It's not even Image Comics. I have jumped into Mindhunters. Have you been watching? Have you ever seen Mindhunters?
Everybody talks so good about it, but
Mindhunters is 100% Joker Harley Criminal Sanity, especially the first issue.
Oh, really?
Where it looks like Harley is kind of like behavioral science, and she's kind of like a profiler.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, imagine if David Fincher, who's a stud.
Oh, did you hear that Mike Mayhew is not going to be on that book anymore? Or
is Mike Mayhew the one that does like the lifelike?
Yes, the super hyper realistic
flashback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if he's not going to be on it anymore, but he's not on the next issue.
Oh, so it could just possibly be a book that has no flashbacks.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, yeah, that book, so me watching Mindhunters has been, yeah, it's kind of like, imagine if David Fincher wanted to do Criminal Minds, but you don't have to worry about all the, you know, ABC or NBC, like the local channels, all their restrictions.
Yeah, because it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, so you can kind of just see this being as grotesque and just the people that they have portraying, like the real life serial killers. It's intense. It's
well, I was gonna, it's I, awesome. I was gonna say, do you know what's gonna keep you sane next week? But it'll probably be for one day because I'm sure you're gonna binge it all.
What?
What comes out next week?
I don't know.
Netflix related, something you've been looking forward to for a while, something that we still need to record about.
Oh my gosh, Lock and Key. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I was like, oh, I'm not that excited about Birds of Prey. But then you said Netflix, and then I was kind of curious what you were referencing. Yeah, yeah,
Friday,
okay.
Friday. Next Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to have to jump in on that. I mean, I should be done with Mindhunters by then. I only have like 7 episodes.
Yeah, I will be interested to see how long Lock and Key will be. I don't expect.
Well, they're adding a lot of keys. So they're saying that they added keys into the show that were never presented in the. So I think they're doing that and just adding little keys, because that's the only way they can extend the story, is by limiting, you know, the, I don't remember the number, the 6 keys.
Yeah.
That's actually, yeah, it should be 6 keys. There were 6 volumes. Yeah, so the 6 keys in the book, the only way to extend that overarching storyline would be just to add other ones to kind of
play
create
around
the little filler stuff in between. Yeah, so.
It'll be interesting.
So I'm guessing, yeah.
I'm
hoping that Lock and Key is a successful one. But Lock and Key is like one of those stories that I just can't see going past like 2 seasons.
You never know, man. You never know. There may be a season for every like important key. So I want to anticipate 6 seasons, but I think that we will be okay with 2 really good seasons, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right.
But
cool.
With that, guys, thank you for listening to us ramble. Like we said, we're part of.
Thanks for all the downloads, because that, you know, Clay really enjoys those.
And of course, you know where to find us on Twitter, me on Instagram as well, Fanboy Clay, Mark at Mark Reads Comics, the show at CB_Legion. And with that, guys, peace out.
See you.